Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. And we're back with the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. And y'all, we got a member of the congregation back, okay? A favorite, a love. So y'all already know that I'm, yes, very excited, elated, and thrilled. He's an amazing actor, comedian, and author, okay? You know him from his award-winning podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, and now he has a new audiobook entitled Dad at Peace, where he explores a new phase of his life by looking back at his career, savoring moments with his parents, and sharing special moments with his son. Yes, get his audiobook exclusively at everand.com. Congregation, please welcome back a deacon in the church. Welcome back, Chris Gethard. Hi, Chris.
How are you? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I feel like you're my most leveling out guest. Like I say insane things to you and you are like, that's crazy. Like I'll try to remember what I was telling you about my assistant who was trying to kill me. And mm-hmm. I was telling you about the yacht party and you were like, can we go back to the yacht? And I was like, no, we talked about her trying to kill me.
Yeah. I do remember that well. And I am glad to be, I'm glad to be a sedate older man who can help anchor you back to reality sometimes.
Chris, we always ask on the show in the beginning, you know, what is your relationship with scams? Have you been scammed recently? Or it could be anything. Love them, hate them, anything you're following.
I'm actually really excited because I feel like I'm about to get scammed or see a lot of scams because there's been... So I live in New Jersey. I feel like this has come up before when I've been on the show.
It has.
And I'm a fan. I've said, you know, that's a land of scams and scam artists. And I grew up there where everybody had a hustle and you could feel the people who did and you learned to sense it. But they just announced yesterday, as of this recording, I know it's not coming out for a few weeks, but the World Cup Finals in 2026 is going to be in New Jersey.
What?
At MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. So the combination of a place as shady as New Jersey and an organization as shady as FIFA, the governing body of world soccer, which is a notorious scam-ridden enterprise. This is a match made in heaven.
Wait, I never knew that FIFA was a scam. What have they been doing?
You got it. I feel like you could do like a 10-part series just on soccer-related stuff.
Chris, what have they been doing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, rumors about nations that have maybe lined the pockets of FIFA officials to get the World Cup to be in their country. I'm not an authority on it, but you know, there were a lot of stories, you know, that
because that's a lot of money, like the tourism it brings in, like the hotels, everything. They were talking about the Taylor Swift bump, the Beyonce bump, where like when Beyonce was in your city, everything just went up. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also a lot of stories too about countries will get contracts to do the World Cup or to do major FIFA events, and then they need to go build stadiums, and they're are a lot of stories out there of like them bringing in workers from other countries and then the workers having no way to get home and living in like actual human trafficking related stuff where it's like, hey, we're going to give you a job to help fund you, and then we bring you over here and take away your passport, and you have no way to leave. There's all types of shady FIFA stuff. And I think some of that's very documented. Some of that's just rumors. So I'll put the allegedly on it.
Allegedly. We can't get sued over here, okay? I got to get my Abogado fund back up.
Absolutely. And I can't claim to be an authority, but what I can say is that everything I've ever heard about FIFA, welcome to New Jersey, baby. I'm surprised your headquarters is not already here.
This sounds like a match made in heaven then. It's 100%. Like the scammers finna link up. This is con. Now I want to go to ConCon. I need to be there. I feel like it's going to be a good time.
ConCon might just be life in New Jersey at a certain
point. Honestly, I was telling Chris before we started the show, I was driving through New Jersey or something like 2 months ago. Or you know what? I think I was leaving JFK, which is my least favorite airport. Mm-hmm. And I get scammed in JFK all the time. It's like, it's just rife. And I saw a billboard for Chris, like... I think it was for a show. I don't know what show, but I was like, oh, Chris Gathen, I know him. And then you were like, how long has that billboard been up? Because
like, at least 5 or 6 years old. Because my billboard level of relevance crapped out about half a decade ago. So
Nah, you still up. You still up. Shout out to the workers who never took it down because it's up. I drove past it and I was like,
I gotta
Chris.
Go find it.
I gotta figure out where it is because I think it's still up. If y'all are driving right now, look around in Jersey, okay? Tell me if you see Chris. I love it. Scams!
Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream. And I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving Rish, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows. Cut! And I also love that you were talking about FIFA and like about these workers like coming over here and not getting paid because that actually ties right into what's hot in fraud. This is the segment where we talk about what's popping in the scam streets. More than often these days, y'all know we get a listener letter. Write in to me. Snitch on your friends, family, your enemies.
anybody at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. And Chris, I just need a fake name from you. We don't care about gender.
Let's go with Frankie Piscaleri.
Wow, giving us very much Jersey.
Yeah.
Frankie Piscaleri. So Frankie says, "Hi, Lacey. I didn't really know I got scammed until I started listening to your podcast, so I thought you might want to know about it." Oh, Frankie, no, not you didn't know you got scammed. Okay, so Frankie says, "A year ago, I started doing seasonal work," which is when you work for certain companies in the hospitality industry and they provide housing and pay. I've done that. I did it in the Hamptons. I told y'all about that. That was Paul McCartney's personal server. It's fun. And you can pay a lot of money. So, you know, whatever. You go move somewhere for a little bit. So Frankie says, "My then boyfriend and I got a job offer from a Mormon zip line company in Tennessee." That is so many words. A Mormon zip line company. Not in Utah. In Tennessee.
A lot of questions about this.
So many. I don't think I would have taken this job offer because those words all shouldn't be in the same sentence. I would be like, nah, not these words. This can't be real. But it seemed like a really nice job, Frankie says, because they gave us a whole apartment for only $250 per month, and it was only 10 minutes away from Walmart. We used to drive 3 hours. Now Walmart being... How much do you need to go to Walmart that you take a job that you're like, oh, it's so close to Walmart?
Yeah.
We need to go to Wally World constantly. Okay, fine. So they also said that they would reimburse us half for the gas money we used to drive there and the gas money that we would use to drive to work every day. We were so excited. So we drove all the way from Central Cali to East Tennessee. 36 hours. Wait, so y'all were in Central California. California is expensive. Like, it's getting bad. And I had learned that you can move somewhere and then say you live there and just work in California. And I was going to do it. All you have to do is fly there 6 times a year. So I was like, ooh, I'm going to move to Washington because they don't got no state income tax. And I could not have to give the government so much of my money for the wars and stuff no more. So I was like, oh, I'm going to move. Then I was talking to my accountant about it. And he was like, yeah, you can do it, but you would actually have to live there for real a little bit. And I was like, really? I thought I just had to fly there. And he was like, no, the IRS will check your cell phone records. And that's how they get you. Because if they see that most of your calls are pinging from California, they know you don't live there.
Mm-hmm. My version of that was I have an EU passport. I got Irish citizenship because my grandparents were born there.
Okay.
And I called up my accountant and was like, hey, like I heard there's tax benefits in Ireland and that there's ways like having that can help. And I don't know if you need to know about that, but I do have Irish citizenship. And they're like, are you talking about like Ireland being a tax haven? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, people go to jail for what you're suggesting. And I was like, oh, I know nothing about it. I thought it was a good thing, but yeah, we can just ignore it then.
Bro, why? We need sweatier accountants. I want a Better Call Saul accountant, a man in a cheap suit who's constantly looking over his shoulder. Because what is this following the law shit? Like, yeah, I love my accountant, but I'm like, why are we following all the laws like this? I want to do crime.
Why are you making the rules so explicitly clear to me when we could be dancing on the razor's edge together?
Right. Let's do crime together. You're an accountant. That's the whole reason I hired you. Is so we can do crime. You're right. They've gotten too ethical. What happened in the accounting industry where y'all just like following all the laws and the tax codes? Those are suggestions. Let's get into it. So they drove 36 hours, but that's how bad Cali is. They were like, we're going to drive 36 hours to Tennessee Mormon zip line. And we're going to work there for them. Okay. So then they say, when we got there, we moved in and did our zip line guide and ATV training. We worked every day, probably 8 hours. We were then notified that we would only be paid $250 for the week because we were in training. Now, don't be telling me what I'm getting paid after I'm already there. Like, what?
I mean, like, I'm shocked that this job actually existed. I was waiting to hear that they drove 36 hours and realized, oh, there's no Mormon Tennessee zip line operation. That sounded so fake to me. I'm just glad they got anything at all. Because they already, I was like, that can't be real.
Yeah, they signed up for robbery immediately. So, but I guess the job was real in itself. So they were like, oh, we only going to get $250 because you're training. Sorry, we didn't tell you that before you drove 36 hours, but you're here now. You can't leave. So, you know, what are they going to do? So that was suspicious, they said. Anyway, yeah, it is suspicious. Anyway, the name was suspicious, Frank. We already down bad, but it's okay. This is another red flag. We'll take it. So anyway, through the Christmas season, which is when we arrived, every day was busy. But after Christmas, no one wants to zip line in the cold. So we started only working 2 or 3 days a week. So I had to get a second job. Then when it started to get warmer, I quit my second job because they were open full time again. We were okay. Did y'all just relocate here and live here? Because we're talking about seasons. You said y'all was there for Christmas season, now it's summer, and y'all live there.
This is a major life rearrangement around a zipline establishment. This is a lot of eggs to put in a zipline basket.
The economy is down bad, okay?
I get it.
We're at the point where we're like, I work for the Tennessee Mormon zipline.
Didn't they just add like 380,000 jobs? Is this the type of jobs that Biden's bragging about?
I think
about?
These are the jobs.
These are the jobs you can get in America now? If you're willing to move from California to Tennessee, you might be able to operate a zip line for 2 days a week?
Jotavius was like, look, we got all kinds of jobs. Y'all get these zip lining jobs. The market is booming. Y'all know how to drive an ATV? Get involved. What? Jaquan, what? These aren't the jobs we want. He's like, but they jobs though. Okay, technically they are employments. So
I'm also not trying to judge the person who wrote in at all, because it sounds like they've already been put in some hard circumstances.
Yeah,
the letter's not even done yet, but I'm not judging at all. And I'm someone who grew up very working class and still really identifies with that mentality.
Chris, you said I'm not judging so many times that I feel like you finna be judging.
I'm about to. So here's the thing that I don't quite understand is, if you're willing to work a job of this caliber and sort, there had to be some place between California and Tennessee that could fulfill this level of job, right?
Nah.
Like, you drove all the way across California, Nevada, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma.
You crossed so many state lines.
Missouri. You crossed so many state lines, and there was not a job equal to or better than operate a zip line part-time?
And ATVs.
I'm really not trying to judge too hard, but I have to believe there was something along the way in that journey a little closer to home that could have pushed these same buttons.
There wasn't. J.J. Biden said, we got new jobs for y'all. They are in Tennessee. They are ziplining. Y'all got to drive. So they did. So Frank drove. So they stayed for hella seasons, because clearly they started in the winter and Christmas, and then it got booming again in the summer. So they're still there. They said seasonal, but this is more than one season. So y'all was, I think y'all relocated and y'all
work. You live in Tennessee now.
You relocated for this. This is a relocation, babes. But it's okay. It's okay. So we were working sunrise to sunset every day, carrying heavy gear all day. In between my tours, I would drive the ATV up the mountain to help out. Up the mountain?
Are these people like zipline slaves? Is that what's starting to be revealed? They've been human trafficked into a zipline business? It's the thing that happens in the world?
It's 2024. I guess we can all just be trafficked into anything now. Not a zipline business. Oh, this is the goofiest way to be trafficked. You know what? It's okay. I'm with you, Frank. I love you. I support you. So you working from sunrise to sunset, and you driving the ATV up the mountain. I didn't know there were mountains in Tennessee, but okay. So you driving the ATV up the mountain. Why are you driving up the mountain to help out? Like, that's not your job. But you know what? Y'all are hard workers. I appreciate that. So only after working 12 plus hours a day did I realize that this company did not pay overtime. Then one day I looked at my time card to smile at my 100-hour pay period, and I realized that some of my hours were missing. The managers told us that they had took the hours away because we never clocked out for our lunch breaks, which is true, but I have never taken a 6-hour lunch break. Yeah, I'm sorry. You was driving the ATV up the mountain. I don't understand why they're trying to take your hours away. But, you know, Frank says, I've never taken a 6-hour lunch break in my life. My boyfriend and I both stopped showing up for work, but we never were reimbursed for gas, and the apartment they provided us to live in ended up being 5 people to a room.
These people were held against their will and forced to operate a zip line. This is not okay.
Now I feel like I've gone zip lining. Like, that's like something, you know, everybody does at some point, I think.
Yeah. Once or twice I've been zip lining. Were those people?
Zip lining like, in itself is a scam.
Like, people like blinking in Morse code at me the whole time and I didn't notice?
Exactly. I'm like, did I need to be trying to free these people? I did not realize they were trapped. I did not know that they were captives. But it makes sense because zip lining in itself is a scam. What is zip lining? Somebody was just like, you know what? Let's put some wires in these trees and let people ride over it. That's fun. That's a good thing.
And that business model cannot function without stolen hours. I wonder what the person who contacted them, if they're like, yeah, I have a degree in computer science. Like, I wonder where they were at in life before they got kidnapped by these Mormons and forced to ride an ATV up a mountain.
This kind of makes sense to me because if you open a zip line in business, I'm trying to think of how you do get employees because you got to be like, hey, y'all, we got these wires in the trees. Y'all want to come push people off of a deck and into the forest? It's like nobody's going to sign up for that willingly. I think you do have to scam everybody to get them employed.
Right. Right. And also it's a job that it's like, and if you do it right, no one particularly cares. And if you do anything wrong, someone will fall from the sky and die. Anyone interested? No glory, but if anything goes wrong, you will watch people plummet to their doom because of a carabiner that you did not connect correctly. Anybody want? Who's in?
Anybody?
Who's in? Also, we're not going to pay you. Also, we will not pay. We will not pay you. Anyone? It's the volunteer state. Tennessee is the volunteer state. That's their motto.
Bro, well, they really are doing it with this. Wow, you're right. And it's also, now it's making me think of other industries that are just like ziplining. Like, you know when you go to like a carnival, which I think is a scam because you should not be able to fold a roller coaster out of a suitcase. What y'all mean? Yeah. Y'all move in each state each week. What do you mean this is a touring roller coaster? Like, roller coasters need to be fixed into the ground. And they always have teenagers operating everything. So it's like you're getting on some kind of flippity-doo ride in the sky and literally there's like a high 14-year-old operating it.
I remember going to the carnival when it would come to my town and it would be the field outside the high school and you could look at the rides and see like, oh, that one has like a loose old tire and a bike chain and people are 80 feet up in the sky and it depends on a bike chain and an old tire to operate. This is not
okay. Listen, it's Six Flags, but just with vibes. Like, you got to just hold on to the vibes.
It's like 4 flags.
Yeah, they don't got 6 flags. You're right. They probably have 1 flag, half a flag. It's a t-shirt that they put on a pole. It's not really a flag. Wow. You know what? I'm sorry that this happened. Also, very hilarious. And I'm also very proud of you, Frank, and your boyfriend, to stop working. Y'all were just like, oh, y'all not gonna pay us? We're not gonna show up to the appointments anymore. Now, you can't get mad if they don't give you the other things they promised you when you stop working. Like, you were supposed to agree to be a hostage, and then they maybe were gonna pay you. But honestly, I don't think they were gonna give you that stuff back either, because if they already were cheating you on the training and then working you to death, stealing your hours, I don't know if you were gonna get reimbursed for gas if they're already taking hours away from you. There's I think y'all did the right thing.
There's a companion scam to this that I know about, Lacey.
What?
Just found out about it a year or two ago. So apparently, I don't know if it's all over the country, but at the very least on the East Coast, the amusement parks and like the boardwalks in New Jersey.
Oh, Chris, I'm going to pray for you. Don't go to no more theme parks. Y'all know Chris was in the Action Park documentary.
Yeah, I made it through. I made it through Action Park. But if you go to places like this now, very often you will see that the workers are Eastern European. There's a lot of Russian workers, mm-hmm. Ukrainian workers, people from that area of the world. And apparently there is a type of visa you can get to be an amusement park worker. And there's recruiting services that will tell these young people, hey, do you want to come work in New York for the summer? And these people think all of New York is New York City, and they don't realize you might be at an amusement park 4.5 hours north of New York City. Yes, up in the Adirondacks, up in the woods, and you're just going to live there all year. Or you might be on a boardwalk in New Jersey, 3 hours south of New York, putting up with drunk Jersey Shore people. And there's, I have to imagine they get paid, but there is a recruitment service I know that does at least somewhat trick Eastern Europeans into thinking they're coming to New York and then forces them to work at amusement parks. And I believe summer camps all over the New York area.
Damn.
But these are places out in the woods, and then you spend a whole summer of your life.
Y'all need to, we all need to be looking a little harder when we go to the theme park, because apparently everybody is a hostage. We having fun, like, woo, put your hands up in the air. And they're like, please help me get out of here. Because I know they do that with cruise ships. Like, you know, everyone will be from a different country, and they'll, like, have you on a boat for forever. Because I've gone on way too many cruises. And when I complain about it, people are like, that is a privilege. I'm like, it's not a privilege to be trapped on a boat with all of the Trump supporters eating Guy Fieri burgers till your ankles swell from salt. Like, it's not. I'm Black. I don't need to be on those ships with the man no more. Like,
yeah.
That's how we got over here. Okay. I'm a direct descendant of slaves, and I know that. Like, that's why when people be talking about, like, oh, well, I don't know why Black people keep talking about slavery. I'm like, bro, my great grandmother was alive till I was 8. She was a slave.
Wow.
My grandmother was a sharecropper. Like, please be serious.
Well, when you put it like that,
I knew a slave. She was enslaved. We not slaves. We was enslaved. But yeah, it's not. I always say Ruby Bridges has Instagram. She was the one who, like, started, like, the integration of schools. She's alive and has, she doing it for the gram. You could go like her page right now. Like, please be serious. Robbery!
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have an unemployed roommate at home? You know who I'm talking about. Children. Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs? I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring, because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
And fraud! But anyways... Let's get to our next segment here, my favorite. Historic hoodwinks. This is where I regale Chris with a famous con, caper, group of criminals, whatever, and we'll get his opinions all throughout. I want to note, because we don't scam our journalists, this story was primarily researched from The New Yorker's Richard Rayner's 2000 article, The Admiral and the Con Man. Thank you, Kaylin. So we don't scam our journalists. This will be in the footnotes. Y'all click on the article, give them some clicks, because journalism is down bad right now. So give all the journalists their clicks. So, and if you're in school for journalism, maybe consider changing that major.
Have you thought about zip lines?
Have you thought about zip lines? Because Joe Biden put so many zip lining jobs into the economy.
Because if you're getting a journalism degree right now, you might need to think about zip lines.
How good are you on an ATV? Can you drive it up a mountain?
It's great that you can write a lead. It's great that you know how to cite your sources. It's incredible that you've studied both newspaper journalism and the new school long form magazine writing. That being said, you might also need to really seriously consider running a skee ball stand on the Jersey Shore.
Just have multiple talents, okay? We're all serial entrepreneurs now.
Diversify your portfolio.
Yes. Can you put a line up through some trees? Okay. Let's talk about it. So we're talking about Oscar Hartzell. So Oscar Hartzell was born January 6, 1876. We're going into the past. This is basically right before the Great Depression, where one humble farmer rose into riches after using the story of a 16th century knight to scam the Midwest. So this is Oscar. He's our notable farmer. And we have a photo of him. Why he looked like he was like caught mid fart or something? What is his face giving?
It definitely feels like at some point in the history of photography, people were told they were allowed to smile. And this was before that. He's making that very sort of like somewhat scared, neutral, I am in a photograph face.
It's giving tagged photos. You know how like you'll look nice in the photos you post, but then the photos people tag you in, you'll be looking crazy. Like that's what it's giving. It's giving me tagged photo. He was like, don't post this. Crop me out. And they posted it. So Oscar left school at the age of 15 with the intention to become a farmer. I mean, yeah, I guess the school of like seeds and plants. Like if you know what you want to do in life, like you don't have to learn geometry. Like a rhombus never comes up in my life. So
yeah,
I've never used a protractor again.
No, I have a calculator in my pocket at all times.
Yes.
All that math that frustrated me, I didn't need to be doing that.
Nope. Trigonometry for what?
I've never even attempted trigonometry. Not one time in my life have I even thought about it.
Honestly, sometimes when I'm hanging photos or measuring stuff, I'm like, maybe I did learn, I needed this a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. I would have rather them told me how to do my taxes so I don't have to pay somebody who's not going to do crime for me. So he left school. At 19, he married the daughter of a local farmer. Okay, you better marry your way into the industry you want to be in. And together, they bought enough land in Iowa to become one of the biggest shippers of horse and cattle. Yes. And that actually just reminded me, like, when he said farmer, I forgot that farming is animals. And then what's the other one? That's a farmer, but it's for food. Farmers, too?
Are you thinking of farming and ranching?
I thought ranching was the animals. Farming, I always associate with like growing food, but that's not right.
No, I would say that my instinct as well is that ranching involves animals. Farming involves vegetables.
Yeah, agriculturalist. So after his cattle, so they were selling out all the horses, all the cattle, like they were booming in Iowa. However, after his cattle developed a fever called the Texas itch, he went bankrupt and lost the house, farm, and real estate business and a bid for sheriff in Polk County, Iowa. So he lost everything. Texas itch, that's giving me like mad cow. I feel like itch. That was our mad, but it sounds worse. Itch? What the meat made you itch?
Itch. I'm glad that's something they have apparently solved because I've never heard it in my lifetime. But that sounds bad.
It sounds terrible. It sounds like you're going to be itching in your booty or something, like somewhere you don't want to scratch in public. Yeah. And clearly the girls were mad at him because he was running for sheriff and they were like, we're not voting for you for this either because you done gave everybody the itch. And now we hate you.
Yeah.
That itch must have been bad.
He was a guy who had a lot of financial duress and also was not very popular as per the vote.
Yeah. They were like, you're poor and we hate you. But then his mother called with news that she had invested $6,000 into a promising business venture. Oscar and his wife moved back to Illinois, where he learned of a man who would put his life in a newer direction. So he was so down in Iowa that he was like, okay, let's relocate. We're leaving the state. My mama got an investment. Let's go to my mama's house. It's giving Nepo a little bit because your life fell apart and then you just moved and everything got better. Love it.
He has the vibe and glasses from the picture of like a guy. I'm not sure where this is going. I don't know if he's the victim or if he becomes the scammer, but.
That's why I love the ride, because I don't know either. Do we love him? Do we hate him? We're going to find out. So
he looks like a guy I wouldn't want to leave my son around alone, unsupervised, you know? Like
His face isn't giving trustworthy.
Yeah. Not a like, great vibe.
How you look caught in a, like, how does a photo of you just look like a mugshot? Like, why? You got mugshot face? You got mugshot energy? Like,
he does have big time mugshot energy.
Yes, it's big mugshot energy. So the scam, Admiral Sir Francis Drake also happened to be the son of a farmer. In 1588, he helped defeat the Spanish Armada. 8 years prior, he was the first British citizen to travel around the globe and came back with a fabled haul of Spanish treasure. So another scammer, but in 1588. Honestly, if you're scamming back then, You really had to avoid like the plague and typhoid and stuff. Like you were a strong scammer.
Shipwrecks, yeah.
You got on the water? That's wild. I'm not getting on the water in 1588. We don't know enough about the water yet. We still don't know enough about the water. I'm really not trying to be in there.
I generally try to avoid it.
Yeah, like I've said it before on this podcast. I'm sorry. When the moon controls it, like the only thing I let control me with the moon is astrology, okay? When Mercury and microbrays and Gatorade or whatever, but I'm not getting in the water where the moon controls the tides. I'm good. That's quiet. So Queen Elizabeth favored Sir Drake, and with his sharing the treasure that he brought and the land and the title, like, so Sir Drake was like popping. Everybody loved him. He died in 1596 with no children, and most of his wealth went to his wife and his brother. Okay, first of all, Sir Drake was gay. He's gay. He's one of us. It's giving one of us. No children. And he was like, I get a wife because society says so, but then I'm going to get on a boat and never really be around her.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the flair. Yeah, one of ours. One of ours for sure.
See?
So I'm trying to figure out how this
to
ties
clear,
into
this
Oscar.
Is not one of the parts that we've researched. This is just you. No research done into this part.
No, this is conjecture. Like,
this is pure conjecture. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Thank you. Sir Drake can't sue us. He hella did. But true. But I'm trying to get back to how this has to do with Oscar, but I guess we're going to get there. So by the time of his death, he had become a legend. Stories circulated that his will was invalid and was waiting for the person who could prove that they were entitled to it. So that now they're like, Sir Drake got some treasure out there that anybody could claim. By 1900, people were claiming to represent the Drake estate and had flooded the Midwest. They were all like, we know Sir Drake. We know him. That was our cousin. At first, they only targeted those with the surname Drake before targeting everyone. The most successful of them was Susie Whitaker, a widow in her 30s. She claimed she was a cousin to the rightful heir to the Drake. Why the cousin? The cousin to the rightful heir to the Drake fortune. And that she had been given power of attorney to help establish his claim. So she was like, I'm Sir Drake's cousin. And you know, you see those movies and some powerful person dies and they read the will. Yeah. How you gonna show up as the cousin of the cousin? You're not even the direct cousin.
I also feel bad because Sir Francis Drake is a man of accomplishment in life. And then in death, to hear that every shyster started trying to stick their hand in the kitty and see what they could grab, that's pretty stressful, man.
It is. I mean, he did, though, so he's not stressing. So Susie intended to sell a number of shares in the estate to help cover her legal expenses while she pursued the claim in the British courts. The total value of the estate was more than $10 billion. And this is like 1900s, $10 billion. So this is long, long money. And Susie promised a return of 500 to 1. Okay. Susie was able to live off the Drake scam with her two sons for years, including taking Oscar's mother's money. So remember, now we get back to Oscar because I was confused too. Yeah, y'all confused out there? Yeah, we're back to Oscar. So remember when Oscar gave everybody the Texas itch and had to leave Iowa and they said, you can't be sheriff. And he picked up with his wife. His mom had called and said, I got a great investment opportunity. I just gave $6,000 to someone. So the $6,000 that she gave was to Susie, the cousin's cousin of Sir Francis Drake, allegedly. So upon meeting Oscar, Susie took pity on him and gave him a job as an assistant and liaison with farmers. Oscar took his salary in shares. So you, again, we're just staying on the through line of nobody's getting paid in this episode, apparently. Like, what do you mean my payment is in shares? That's not money.
This is pretty fascinating that this guy Oscar got tied in through his mom investing in someone in England.
So his mom, apparently everybody came to the Midwest to try to claim like land and stuff. So his mom met this woman, Susie, in Illinois. And Susie said, I'm the cousin of Sir Francis Drake. Like, get invested in me fighting to get what's owed to me as the cousin of the cousin. And I'll pay you back 500 to 1. So I'm going to get $10 billion. So if you give me $6,000 and help me fight to get what's lawfully mine as the 14th cousin four times removed, then we all going to win.
So this is sort of like the early pre-internet, pre-anything version of like the modern day like email from somebody who says that they're a prince in a royal family, and if you can invest some money now when they unlock all that, like, this still happens today.
Yep. I just need you to wire me the taxes and fees,
because there you go.
For Sir Drake. But I got the money. I'm a Drake. Don't worry about it. So now Oscar's been roped in. He's working for Susie, the cousin twice removed. And getting paid in shares and bonds that obviously will appreciate when Susie get her money. Okay, not a job. So in the summer of 1915, she collected $65,000 in Des Moines, almost $2 million today. So this is Susie. So now Susie is collecting money from everybody, saying, I'm going to give you money back. Like, y'all just give me the taxes and fees. Our first Nigerian scammer. She had to flee to England when one investor grew impatient waiting for his return, and Oscar left with her, her sons, and her lawyer, Milo Lewis. This is in 1916. So Susie was like, I love that they're both on the same type of time. It's like, oh, it's getting too hot. Let's move. And yeah. Oscar was like, I love to move when things go bad. I'll move with you and your family.
That's a big swing for a guy like Oscar.
Oscar, where's your wife?
Yeah, you're just a Midwestern pig farmer down on his luck, and now all of a sudden you're flying across the world, taking ships around the world.
Yep. So Milo is a lawyer, right? And since he saved her in Des Moines, Milo demanded that he now be her boss in the scam. So Milo was like, I want a bigger share of the scam. I saved you. We moved. And, you know, I got the heat off of you. So Susie reluctantly agreed, and Oscar was ordered to watch and attend to her while leaving with her and her sons to London, resulting in being barely more than a servant. So now Oscar has been trapped in a work scam. That's the theme of this episode. He went from being his own farmer, running for sheriff, to losing all his money. His mama told him to get involved with a scammer, and then he started working for her. Then he moved with her, and now he's her slave. Oscar, damn, I'm on your side now because this sounds like I'm sorry for you.
He's a victim.
He might be a victim. So it wasn't until then that he discovered the Drake scheme was actually fake. So he thought it was real the whole time. While at the same time, his wife divorced him for desertion. So he did leave his wife. He left his wife.
Oscar.
Susie must have been a bad bitch or something, because you left your wife to move with Susie for a job that was paying you in hopes and dreams because she wasn't giving you no money.
Mm. How bad could the Texas itch be? I need to know more about the Texas itch.
The Texas itch has to be real bad because it feels like this is a whole spiral. Like, you moved and then worked for somebody and moved with them to another country and left your wife. Like, when your wife has to divorce you for desertion, that means you just picked up and left. And she got a divorce because she was like, he's not going to come back.
A parasitic skin disease of cattle known as the... Oh, it's scabies in cattle. The Texas itch. Scabies. Ew.
Oh. So does it give you scabies if you eat the scabie meat?
Or if you touch it? I don't know. Scabies, I know, burrows under your skin. Scabies mm-hmm. is a really bad thing to get. Scabies and then is not good. Yeah. My brother had it once. He's probably not going to be thrilled that I announced that. But he bought... He once was... He walked past a garage sale and thought it would be funny to buy this wig he found at a garage sale and torment me and my friends who were younger than him. And it was real funny until he came down with scabies from a wig. I never anticipated airing that out publicly, but man, I'm thrilled that someone in my family has had a version of the Texas itch knowing that it was scabies.
Also, a garage sale is not the place to buy a wig, I feel like.
He learned that lesson the hard way. He learned that lesson the hard way. He was just a teenager. He's like, that's funny, man.
He could have went to Party City. Garage sale wig.
Threw it on his head. Came by. I remember because me and my friend Anthony were riding our bikes in the church parking lot. He came by with his friends in a car because they were older. He was yelling at us, and we were like, all right, dude. And then 2 or 3 days later, he's at the dermatologist.
Damn. And he had scabies?
He had scabies, yeah.
Damn.
From this weird old wig he got at a garage sale.
Yeah, y'all don't buy no wigs at a garage sale. Don't sell your wig at a garage sale.
If there's one lesson I would take away from today's episode, it's do not work at a Mormon zipline establishment. If there's a second lesson, don't put on a wig you get at a garage sale.
Right.
Get your wigs from above board places.
You can go to Party City, babes. Like, go to one of those Spirit of Halloweens that pop up. You know, like, don't do this. Go to Amazon. So, now Oscar's down bad. He's just like not getting paid, and now he's the personal bodyguard to a scammer woman. Love her. Susie's a queen to me. So he realizes, like, oh, this isn't real. This is a scam, while he's like now in basically an indentured servitude. So after seeing a gravestone be smuggled into a graveyard so that it could be photographed for evidence, Oscar decided that it was time for him to steal the con for himself. The smuggling of the gravestone was so that they could prove that they were relatives of Sir Drake. So they made a fake gravestone and said, look, we all his cousin for real. Like, look at the gravestone. We got a family plot. And Oscar was, like, already realizing it was a scam. And then when he saw them get real goofy with, like, the fake grave plot, he was like, you know what? I'm getting on the scam myself. So Oscar found his break when Milo, the lawyer, was disbarred after the state of Illinois discovered he had violated arcane marriage laws and married too soon and too often. So Milo had been a scammer already. I guess he was getting married a lot to people.
You can marry too soon, you can marry too often, but you can't do both.
You can't do both. And in 1922, Oscar wrote the Chicago Daily News to try to convince Drake investors that he was now in charge. Because he's like, Milo's not in charge anymore. He got married too soon and too often. So he's been disbarred. I'm the captain now. So his angle was breaking to investors that their money had actually been bankrolling Milo Lewis's sexual adventures. So now he threw Milo all the way under the bus. He said Milo was a hoe and all your money went to his sex crimes.
What kind of sex adventures is Milo having?
Too many, too often.
Too many, too often. 1922. What do you think? Do you think weird sex stuff was way more tame then, or was it
I feel like it was worse. And people weren't bathing real good in the 1900s. I think about that every time I see like an olden time show. Like anytime anybody like kissed on Game of Thrones or started having sex, I was like, I know it stank. It took me out because I was like, y'all don't be brushing y'all teeth good. Y'all don't be bathing. And now y'all just have an impromptu sex. Yeah. No.
That's not ideal. Not ideal.
Oh, I know it stank. Oh, God. So, in one letter he wrote, this is like he was writing to, you know, who was he? He was writing to the Chicago Daily. He's writing, you know, putting all these things out in the paper. And in one of these letters he wrote, you will not believe it, but there's another woman who has 6 children by him. Hell's just a popping. So I guess he was writing and he was like, he got all these kids. He is a hoe. He used all y'all's money for hoeness. And I'm the captain now and I'm going to keep my dick in my pants. So in accusing Milo and Susie of forgery and fraud, this was the way that Oscar established himself as a reputable figure and saved his victimized investors from ruin. So he basically was like, I didn't know about this. They're frauds, but I'm a real person. I'm a good guy. Don't look up the scabies. Don't look up the cow scabies. I'm different now. So Milo and Susie, they're not going down without a fight. So when they see that the Oscar's trashing them in the news and writing all these letters and saying that Milo used all the money for Ho, Milo and Susie brought Oscar to court for libel. But when Oscar won the case, he wrote to his investors, now a loyal group that had regular meetings around his letters. They said, Mr. Hartzell is top dog because he won. So he was like, look, y'all, they tried to sue me for libel and I won, which means I wasn't libeling. So I'm really somebody y'all should trust. And now everyone trusts him. Now everybody's on his side, even though he knows it's a scam and he's just decided he's taken over the scam. So he basically just kicked them out of their own con.
So he was basically able to say, hey, these people were huge scumbags. Mm-hmm. And by comparison, I appear to not be a scumbag when he is, in fact, something of a scumbag.
Yes. But he's like, but standing next to these scummier bags.
Yeah.
I look less scummy.
Yeah. I look outright clean next to these dirtball humans.
So, I mean, that's literally what the 2024 election is. It's like, we're just voting for the least worst old guy. But it's like, y'all both too old to be doing this. And we got to just go with the least worst.
Yeah. And everyone kind of agrees on it. Like, everyone is kind of like, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. We're like, what are we going to do? I mean, and honestly, Gen X, we're looking at you. Because why y'all not running for president? It's your turn. And y'all not running. And that's why the boomers still got the like geriatrics in the goddamn office and shit. Like, why are we doing this? Dianne Feinstein literally voted on the Senate floor and died the next day. You shouldn't be voting for shit you're not going to be alive for.
Yeah. Did not see that coming in the course of this episode. But I can see how we got there.
How have we gotten anywhere in this episode? Everything is chaotic. This is just going to be a chaotic ep. So they tried to sue Oscar. It was like, shut your ass up. And Oscar was like, I won. The court of law said I'm not a liar. It's up. So he still had to reinvent the con entirely in order to reclaim it. So Oscar created a nun who led him to a secret document in a church that proved the existence of the previously unknown Drake heir, Colonel Drexel Drake, in London. So now he was like, I am also a relative and a 14th cousin twice removed myself, and a nun that I made up, Sister Mary Clarence, she took me to the secret files and proved it. Okay. In 1924, Oscar wrote to a Des Moines attorney, my genealogy was presented to the Crown Commission, which is the highest in British Empire, or in the British Empire, and the only and last place that a case of this kind can be finished, and their decision is final and cannot be attacked in the courts or by anybody. And after they have finished upon the matter, it's finished forever. So he's saying, I'm the cousin. And once the UK says it's done, it's finished. Like, no one can challenge it. The money is mine. Okay. So there was no such thing as Colonel Drexel Drake, duh, or the Crown Commission. He'd have made all this shit up. According to him, Colonel Drake's niece, Lady Curzon, had fallen in love with him. And because they were due to be married, the colonel had left everything to him. There's so many steps here, Chris.
I do feel like probably 6 or 7 steps back what is around when I'm like, anyone who was still falling for this probably did deserve it.
Yeah, because this is... He threw Milo under the bus and said he's a sex lawyer who used all your money for sex and got married too often and too quickly.
At a certain point, anyone involved with any of these people, I'm not trying to victim blame, but they absolutely deserved it.
You've been blaming all day, Chris.
Big time blamer on this one. This is wild. The fact that everyone was victimizing other people in the scams who would then, it's like a reverse pyramid scheme in a way, right? Instead of promising you more, it's like, oh, I'll get screwed over. So then I'll start screwing over everybody else. It'll just keep rolling downhill. At a certain point, anyone who opted into this is
It's gotten very theatrical because now we got a fake nun. We got a commission in Britain that doesn't exist. We got all this stuff going on. You're right, Chris. If you fall for this at this point, like, you're goofy because I can't even keep up with it. I am confusion and I'm like sitting here with all the facts and I'm so confused. So Oscar visited Des Moines where he appointed an unknowing lead agent, Alma Shepherd, who helped employ additional assistants to ask for donations. So now he's using all of this to be like, y'all give me more money because the UK is going to say I'm that girl and then I'm going to give y'all the money back. But I need to fight the United Kingdom first, I guess. So donors were promised their money back, plus a 6-pound compounding interest and discretionary bonus. So he's like, I'm going to give you your money back and you're going to get interest and you're going to get a bonus if you help me fight the UK so that I can prove that my fiance cousin left me all the money. Good Lord. So by turning the investments into donations, Oscar could avoid scrutiny from the law. Meanwhile, he returned to London where he established a comfortable life, even taking elocution lessons and learning how to dance. So he was like, I'm going to learn how to talk fancier and I'm going to be a good dancer because that's necessary.
That's where this all leads, is that he stole a bunch of money to learn how to dance? After all that, that's where it goes.
Oh, God. Why?
At the end of the day, all of this chicanery, all of this tomfoolery, all of these machinations, because deep down, he just wanted to move.
He just wanted to dance.
He just wanted to find a groove and let his body go.
Yeah. I guess this is what that is. So reverse Footloose? I don't know.
Oscar. My heart breaks for Oscar.
So in the afternoons, he got manicures and massages and dressed with spats, a monocle, and a cane. It's giving one of us. Oscar, was you gay? It's giving gay man. Like, you tricked all these people, stole all their money so you could get manicures, massages, and dance lessons?
With a monocle?
And a monocle and a cane? It's giving look a big ticket. You wanted to dress like the Monopoly man? That's what you did all this for? Okay. So he even took on the same name, Baron Buckland, in his letters to Americans. So now he's switched his name. Now he's Baron Buckland. Okay, Oscar. Upon hearing of his luxurious lifestyle, Alma traveled to London to confront Oscar and discovered he was a fraud. Because Alma's like, I'm working for you getting donations in the Midwest. And now I'm hearing, and you know how luxurious you got to be living in the 1900s for people to hear about your lifestyle?
Yeah, I went from being confused by Oscar to not a fan. Now I'm really starting to dig Oscar.
I know, I like him again. I think I like him again. We're on a ride. We're on a roller coaster ride. And it's definitely unhinged. It's not bolted to the ground. So Alma was like, what the fuck? You living over here rich? So when Alma returned to America, she denounced him. She was like, he a liar. He just over here being a fancy man with a monocle and busting the groove. And he's not getting y'all's money back at all. I'm not in it no more. So she denounced him. Oscar responded with such a vicious campaign of gossip that her husband's tailoring business went defunct and he was committed to an asylum.
No. And back then, asylums were like they chain you to a wall and drill into your temple. Back then, asylums were like, we hook electricity up to your brain just to see what happens.
A lobotomy.
This is not okay. They like castrate you back then. It puts the guy's business out of business, and then I'm no longer a fan of Oscar.
We're not on your side again, Oscar. We're not on your side. Alma was helping you in good faith, and you done ruined her reputation so hard that her husband caught a stray, and now he in a 1900s padded room. What?
Monocle dance lesson era Oscar was peak Oscar. Catty little bitch snitch Oscar who gets someone put into a mental hospital back in the 1920s, 1930s, when mental hospitals were the scariest things that ever happened. Not okay, Oscar.
Not okay, Oscar. God damn. What?
You got to think about the proportionality of this.
So Alma's efforts did little anyway. Like, she didn't really hurt his reputation. Clearly, he ruined her life very fast. And tens and thousands of people across the Midwest began putting every dollar they had into Drake's bonds. So he won even harder after she denounced him and put her husband in the loony bin, which now they're mental hospitals, but back then they were loony bins because they didn't know what they were doing and they were just harming people. Damn. So in October 1929, the stock market collapsed, but it only served to bolster Oscar's lies about why donors had yet to receive their money back. Because now the donors are like, where are our returns? Where's our 6 pounds? Where's our bonus? All this. And he was like, did y'all not see the stock market crash?
Got it.
He was like, we in unprecedented times. And then he just danced away with his monocle.
Oh my goodness. I'm starting to really hope for something bad to happen to Oscar at a certain point. He should know better.
We want the Schadenfreude at this point, because Oscar.
The comeuppance. I need the comeuppance.
So England had heard news about the impending transfer of thousands of pounds of silver to America and had halted it in fear of collapsing the Bank of England. So that's what he said. Like, he said the stock market crashed. And England was like, oh, the American stock market crashed. Like, we don't want to upset the pound because Oscar got so much money, right? And if he take the money out from England, it's going to put them down. That's how much money he going to take out.
Oscar could bring down a nation.
A nation. So I would give y'all money back, but it would bring down the United Kingdom. So they said, I can't. So in 1930, Oscar became more frantic and unhinged because he'd been telling these lies, right? He was like, I can't give y'all money back because then the UK gonna go away. So I can't give y'all money. He badly crashed his car and then claimed that he had a ship that was laden with gold anchored in the Thames River. So now he's like, I got a ship with gold. Like, don't worry about it. It's in the river, Thames. Everything's fine. That same year, he began seeing a psychic, Miss St. John Montague. So the psychic hired a private detective to pose as a Texas oil baron and accidentally bump into Oscar at a bar and lead him into a drinking session where Oscar confessed that it was all a scam.
So we got a confession from a fake Texan? After all that, the Texas itch?
The Texas itch came to scratch.
A Texan to come scratch that itch.
So Miss St. John Montague then used the information the detective gathered to keep Oscar paying for her uncanny predictions for months. So he hired a psychic. Oscar went to the psychic and was like, I'm down bad. Like, tell me what the universe is going to give. The psychic was like, I'm getting in on the scam too. So she hired somebody to go get him drunk and tell him all their business. So then she took the information and acted like she was psychicking it to him.
Wow.
So, yeah, and this is a private detective. So they're investigating him, but the psychic is also getting her coins because she's like, I got new predictions.
There's no protagonist in this story at a certain point, right?
Everybody keeps showing up to the scam and then just being like, I'm going to get involved.
I would like to now steal some money also, please.
There's no heroes so far. So this is the downfall. God, please take us off this ride. So on January 9th in 1933, Oscar was finally arrested and faced deportation from England. He was found with $44,000 in cash on his person. Okay, look at Oscar now.
He was unhinged in that one. He looks unhinged. He looks a lot different.
What is this headband?
He looks kind of like more fun to hang out with than the old picture, though. The old picture, he looked real stuffy.
But it still looks like a mugshot. Why can't you take a photo, Oscar, that doesn't... This is like the mugshot where you get picked up and you really down bad.
The headband is wild.
Because what is that headband?
I don't know. Is he implying he's got some sort of injury in this
a
picture?
A headband and a bow tie is wild.
He's a wild-eyed madman in this photo, and I like it. I get the sense I would have liked him better at this phase of his life than the last one.
He looks very fun here. It's giving like he flash dance. I don't know. Maybe he need the headband for dancing. And I don't know. He's wearing a tuxedo because he's a fancy man. But they found him with $44,000 in cash on his person. Who carries around 44K?
This baller motherfucker. That's who.
Honestly, I'm back on your side, Oscar, because that's great. Like, that's so much money to just walk around with. That's hilarious.
Especially back then? Jeez.
Yeah, that's 44K in the 1900s. That's a lot of money to just have. So, upon his return to America, Oscar was arrested by authorities in Sioux City. His trial began shortly after that. The star witness was an expert on English law, Charles Challen, a hater. We love a hater. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at them walking up with their hater suits on. It was like, we're finna hate hard. Yes. And Charles Challen, the hater lawyer, he was convinced American water was toxic to drink and thus required a quart of liquor delivered daily. So I don't know why we know that about Charles, but he said, I can't drink American water, but I will drink American liquor. Okay. So Charles testified that the statute of limitations in England for an heir to make a claim was 12 years at most, immediately dissolving any possibility that Oscar could have been entitled to this money. Like, because remember, this is like the 1500s when we're talking about Sir Drake. Yeah. So 12 years, and it's in the 1900s now? Yeah, we're way overdue. So Oscar was found guilty on all counts and sentenced to 10 years in Leavenworth prison. His followers still believed that the Drake billions were kept from them by the government, and in the wake of Oscar's sentence, formed a cult called the New Order. So now we got a cult.
What? It was a real roller coaster ride.
Meanwhile, Oscar finally succumbed to his own lies, and he was deemed insane by prison psychiatrists. So then I think they took him to the... He probably had to go link up with Alma husband in the bin. Because they said he was insane.
Just desserts on that one.
So he died at the Medical Center for Federal Prisoners in Springfield, Missouri in 1943, believing he was the true soon-to-be billionaire heir to the Drake fortune. In total, he scammed over $2 million, which is like $35 million today, over 15 years.
Wow, good on him. Good on him.
Is this him?
Is that Oscar in old age?
He's a snazzy dresser. Now,
a pogo stick or something? What is that? Farming equipment or a pogo stick? I can't tell.
I can't tell either. But I love that each photo progressively is more insane than the last. It looks like, I guess Judith is saying it might be an old-timey lawnmower. They got him mowing the lawn at the medical prison?
Putting him to work.
Oscar, don't they put you back in a work trap? After all it is. Well, there you have it. But yeah, that's Oscar. I don't know. Do we like Oscar? Do we?
I mean, Oscar's definitely a dirtbag, but there is... History has a handful of people where it just feels like, oh, they... Was he getting revenge because he had been scammed? Was he... Why did he go all in on this, you know? And the fact that he kept it going for as long as he did and managed to keep living pretty high on the hog when everyone around him sensed that he was probably fake after a certain point. There is something about it I respect.
And he got lucky a lot. Like, when people wanted their money back, he was like, the stock market crashed.
Yeah.
But why would you even believe that lie? Like, I can't take the money out because then the UK gonna go under. Queen Elizabeth said I can't have it. What?
Yeah, that's such a big swing. I mean, he's got balls of solid steel, this guy, Oscar, but he's definitely a dirtbag.
For sure. And that brings us to the end of a very much roller coaster episode. Good luck, y'all. Wow. Listen a few times because my brain hurts.
Spinning.
Yeah, my brain hurts so bad. But Chris, we always ask on this podcast, where would you like to be found? Anything you want to plug? Anywhere people can find you, socials, everything.
Yeah.
That billboard.
Yeah, that one weird billboard out near JFK Airport. Chris Geth on Instagram, Chris Gethard on Twitter. Everand, if you want the new book, you can go sign up for Everand, and you can actually get four of my books on there. And I'm also
four books.
Yeah, I got four books on there, and I'm also helping to build a new nonprofit to do a bunch of arts programming in schools. And that info on that is at laughingtogether.org.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, laughingtogether.org. See, Chris is out here doing good things. He's not like Oscar. He's not taken. He's given to the world.
Although imagine if you go to laughingtogether.org, it's like, okay, everybody. So if you take this zip line, it opens up Ferdinand Magellan's jewels. And I know where the cave is, but to get the equipment, I just need you to fund the equipment for the cave expedition and excavation. Yeah. And then we're going to get...
Can I be the nun? Can I be on the website? Yes, I am Sister Mary Claire, and Chris is telling the truth. God told me.
Modern day nun vibes? Absolutely. I think that's where you're landing in this story.
Modern day nun. I want that so bad. I have just one book, y'all. Scam Goddess. You can pre-order it right now from Hachette. And if you want to follow me, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. If you want to see these unhinged photos of Oscar, Bank Baron, Fancy Man, Scam Goddess Pod on all platforms. Congregation, y'all get out there and y'all stay dancing.
Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo, and our audio engineer is Rich Garcia. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.